There is nothing worse than untapped potential. If you know that you're made for more, this is the place. I know that every successful person I've ever met has one thing in common. They do not let themselves fall victim to their circumstances. They figure out a way to rise above it. So join me on this journey where I help you to be better, do better, and have better in life and in business. If you're feeling stuck and you're needing some practical tools, some hope to get you to that better life, this is definitely the place for you. Hey everyone, welcome to the Unstuck Podcast. I am your host, Lachelle Weemy, and today we get a chance to talk to online business coach, Sarah Bushaw. You guys, she is fantastic, has an incredible story, and I know that she's going to be an amazing resource for anybody who feels stuck at home and needs a really inspiring way out. So Tara, thank you so much for joining us today. I cannot wait to dive right in. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh my gosh. So you are doing all kinds of cool things. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about yourself? Who are you? What lights you up? How do you serve people these days?
Yeah. So as you said, my name is Tara and I am a married mom of 8 from Minnesota. I have 3 adult kids that are living on their own and have some babies. So I have 4 grandbabies too. But then I homeschooled the remaining 5 that are home. And I have several kids that have some medical issues. I've got 2 with type 1 diabetes and I got 1 that has Down syndrome. And so I really focus on helping parents find alternatives to the 9-to-5. Because I feel like we've all been shoved into this box that we're supposed to thrive in. And there's a lot of people that have circumstances that don't fit into that box. And so I help them start online businesses with skills that they already have so that they can be present and focus on the things that are important in their life.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love that because what you do is you really help people create the and life. And I you know, always describe this as a thing that felt like a pipe dream to me when I was thinking about my career, right? So I went to college for a long time. My mom had always encouraged us, go to school, get a good job, right? That's just what meant, you know, to be successful. And I really loved the feeling of being challenged and fulfilled and having a purpose outside of my home. But I also realized that that life was really leading me to a place where I was not as present as a mom as I wanted to be. And I didn't realize that there was a place that I could have both, that being challenged and fulfilled and having this purpose outside the home and be a present mom, right? And it wasn't until I started my first online business that I really understood the opportunity that the creating the and life is actually something that we can do. And I love that you help other people do that.
Yeah, it's something, I mean, you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
And so, you know, something that I hear from one of my mentors all the time is that it's hard to see yourself outside of a reality that you've never had. So when people aren't exposed to that, they don't know that that's possible. And so that's really what I thrive in doing is like bringing those aha moments to people and letting them see like that they can have this alternative life, right? That it is possible to have everything. Because we're told you can't have it all. You know, you're told right. You have to choose one or the other, and it absolutely doesn't have to be that way. So it's so much fun when people come into my world and they're like, what? Like this exists? Like I can do this? And I'm like, yeah, you can.
Oh my gosh. And you know, I think that I was just listening to something and ended up having a conversation around it recently where it's, you know, people were talking about, I don't have the time or I don't have the money. And it's like, you try saying that's really not that important to me and see how that feels. Mm-hmm. And I think that when I hear your story of having 8 kids, not just 8 kids, but 8 kids that need extra special attention and the homeschool part of it, and you still have the energy to have your own business, girlfriend, like you're taking that paradigm of, I don't have the time, or maybe I don't have the money because I have all these children to support. I can't possibly start something on my own. I love that you prove what's possible. And I just wanted to just make sure that I acknowledge that real quick too.
I appreciate that. I get that feedback a lot. I actually just was talking with somebody that had come into my program. And when she was watching my free training, she was like, I just love like your story. You know, I was able to be like, well, if she could do it with this many kids, like I could do it with this many kids. And so I think, you know, it's definitely for me, like I'm walking the walk. And so I've had several people say like, you know, oh, like I love the fact that I've got these circumstances at home and so do you. And so like out of anybody that I follow, like you understand that life happens. And so that has been something that I feel like has helped me step into who I needed to be, seeing how many other people struggle and then not having somebody to follow along with that understands that struggle.
Oh my gosh, 100%. And I think that what you are is also an example of how we can take our struggles, our pains, our hurts, our stories in general, and we can use that as a catalyst to fuel the impact that we can have in the world. And so we can feel sorry for ourselves that we're in situations, or we could say, oh my goodness, how cool is this that I've been able to experience this and I can help someone else along on their journey. And I think it's really cool. So why don't we get into your story then? Like, why don't you give our audience some insight into who Tara is and how you got to be so passionate about what it is that you're doing today?
Yeah. So back in 2001, I was actually pregnant with my third baby. And at that time, like, I knew that I didn't want to go back to work after maternity leave because I had already missed out on my other two kids. And let's be real, like, the idea of putting three kids in daycare was like, I would have been paying to go to work. Right. And so I had the conversation with my husband and I was like, you know, let's just, I need to quit my job. It's not going to pay to go to work. I'm just going to figure it out. And so, so that's what I did. I went and I put in my notice, told my boss I wasn't going to be coming back after maternity leave. And my coworker happened to quit or put her 2-week notice in the same week. And so because she was going to a job, but I was just going to be home, they asked me, like, you know, well, hey, can we, you know, basically work with you or continue to work with you if you are doing the work at home? And so my business accidentally started, right? Like, and by the time, like, I was doing it and I didn't realize that what I was doing was freelancing until, like, after a longer period of time. And so all that was great and dandy. That, you know, that went on for many years. I was able to work and be home with my kids. And then fast forward to 2013, we found out that I was pregnant with baby number 7. And a week later, my husband, who was 37 at the time, suffered a stroke. And so here, you know, he is 37 and he can't go to work and just everything is up in the air. And I started, like, joining groups and started joining communities, like, with, you know, young stroke survivors and things like that, like, trying to navigate this journey of recovery and the unknown. Right. And one of the things that I started noticing throughout my time with hearing people's stories were that there were some that were disabled enough that they couldn't go to work. They lost their driver's licenses because, you know, they had a TBI or traumatic brain injury. So they couldn't get to work, even if they could physically do it, but they were battling Social Security, deeming them disabled enough. And so here they were, these people who had worked their whole lives for everything they had, facing losing everything because they didn't have an alternative. And so I started thinking, well, man, you know, like, if they could just figure out something that they could do like I'm doing, you know, it would totally be cool. And so, like, that was, like, the first spark that I had about, like, people not having an option. Right. So fast forward 7 months then, and I had to have an emergency induction for my son. And he was born unexpectedly with Down syndrome. There was no clues whatsoever that there was anything wrong with him. A week beforehand, those clues started showing up in my newsfeed, which was really, really weird. I think that was, like, God's way of saying, like, prepare, right? Because when he was born, I wasn't shocked. It was just the weirdest thing. Wow. I can't even explain it. But anyway, so he had to be life-flighted 5 hours away from home. We had to go to Minneapolis Children's. And for the next year and a half about, he had numerous hospital stays in that time period. And one of the things that I happened to notice on our last hospital stay, it was supposed to be an overnight stay. It was supposed to be a same day surgery. Mm-hmm. And they were going to keep us overnight because we live so far away.
Okay.
And he ended up, I don't know, he had a lung collapse or something. Anyways, he got stuck on the ventilator and we ended up being there for a total of 5 weeks. But throughout this period of time, I started noticing there were a lot of kids in the hospital rooms by themselves. I'd actually started noticing probably at one of the prior hospital stays, but this time I was there for an extended period of time. Right.
Right.
And so I started like questioning the nurses. I'm like, why are there so many kids here by themselves? Like, I can't imagine. Because there were, it was a busy time of year. It was RSV season, flu season, and there were, they were busy and mistakes were made. And had I not been there, my son would have died. I know he would have because I had caught some mistakes. And so I asked the nurse, like, why are there so many kids here? And she said, well, you know, some of them are here for quite a long time. Mom and dad have to go back to work. They don't have enough sick leave, paid leave, you know, and they were facing, a lot of them face losing their jobs. And so they can only come on the weekend. And I just thought, I couldn't imagine, like, my child would have died if I wouldn't have been there. And all of these parents are having to leave their children in the care or trust of medical professionals, which generally that, I mean, generally you can, but they're humans and mistakes happen. And so that was like a huge, huge thing for me. And so I just thought, wow, you know, I've got this ability to work in my son's room. I didn't leave once in that whole 5 weeks. I was working right there in the room. I still had money coming in, right? And I wasn't facing losing my job. And so I thought, there's got to be a way like that I can share this message. Like, there's got to be something, right? Like, I gotta figure something out. And so even in the hospital room, I kind of started doing some research and I was looking at blogs. Like, you know, how does a person start a blog? And then it was probably about the week before we were going to be discharged. And I noticed the nurse came into our room and started closing the curtains to the hallway. Cause these are all glass pods. So like you can see out into the hallway, you can see into the other rooms. And I could see that the nurse was doing this. Another nurse was doing the same thing in the room across the hallway. And so I asked the nurse, I said, what's going on? And I had noticed for like the 2 days prior to that, that there was a lot of people coming and going from the room next door. And she said, well, you know, the child next door isn't going to make it. They're donating his organs. And so they're going to do a hero walk and we give them their privacy and whatnot. And it was like a gut punch, right? Because the week prior I could have been facing that same situation. And then it really started to get to me because I'm like, you know what? Like I can't imagine being in this situation where you know that your child is not going to make it, whether it's cancer, whether it's something else. And you have to leave to go to work all week long because you still have bills to pay and you still have, you know, you still have to put food on the table. And so I'm like, if I was in their situation where I literally had to leave my child a week at a time, knowing the clock was ticking, I would be beside myself, right? And so that was really like the driving force to that. And then there was one more story that happened, but I won't get it. I don't need to tell everything. But it was definitely it was just that piece of it was like, okay, I got to figure it out, right? Like I got to figure it out. Like this is so the calling came to me. I didn't go looking to start a business. I didn't go looking to be an online business coach. Like it came to me. And ever since that happened, like it hasn't left me alone, right? Like there's times where I'm like, oh, you know, maybe this isn't the right fit, or maybe it's just too much because it would take me a month to prepare myself to go live on Facebook, you know? But each step of the way, I just kept pushing through and kept pushing through. And I mean, and here we are, like I'm comfortable on camera now, but it was definitely not my doing. It's not something that I went looking for. And so that is really what prompted me to do it and what keeps me doing it.
And I think there's so much in your story, Tara, that I can relate to because I also feel that where I am now is so different than where I thought I was going to be. And I am such an introvert. Like I did not want any attention. So I've never posted anything on Facebook, right? Mm-hmm. And now here I am like 2.5 years into my podcast and, you know, and I'm on the camera all the time and I'm on stage just speaking. And it's so crazy to me because it doesn't feel real. But the crazy thing is that when I'm in these spaces, it's almost like I'm somebody else because it's all about service. Like it's not about me at all. It's like I'm watching God do something with and through someone else for mm-hmm. someone else. And I just get to be part of it. I don't know. It's so weird, but it almost kind of feels like the same thing for you. Like you're just driven by this really strong force to serve and this calling to do so. Mm-hmm. And you're recognizing that he's equipping you each tiny step of the way.
Yeah, it was interesting. I went to a business conference a month ago, and it was something that I battled with. Do I go? Don't I go? Like, you know, it was a whole week to disrupt everything, you know, leave my husband home with all the kids. And I just felt like I had bought the tickets last summer, and then I was like, oh, I'm not going to go. And so I refunded. And then all of a sudden, I just felt like this strong urge that I needed to go. And so I rebought the tickets and I went, and the very first speech was on being driven. And the presenter said, God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And I was just like, holy buckets. Like, that's why I was supposed to be here. Just a reminder that, you know, that I didn't ask for this, and it's happening, right? And I'm actually changing lives. And so it's pretty deep when you start thinking about it. But one thing that I notice is a lot of people, they pray, right? Like, you know, I want something different, like, you know, change my life, like, you know, help me make a difference. But then when they have an opportunity to have those prayers answered, if it's something hard, they don't see that is their prayer being answered. They don't step into it. And they feel like, I didn't pray for this, but like, I'm acknowledging that it was put in front of me. And so then I've had to pray though, right, for the strength to follow through on the steps. I'm like, let me step into who I need to be in order to fulfill this. And that's exactly what's happened. It's so crazy to me to see how far I've come.
Yeah.
Compared to when I started, and like, and then I keep pushing, and it's just like, wow, you know, that we have this ability to do that.
That is amazing. And I just have to say, I don't think I shared this with you the first time we chatted, but one of the reasons that I started this podcast in the first place was because my grandma was such an inspiration in my life. And she was someone that really parallels you in many ways. Now, she had a situation where both of her parents passed away, and then she lost two children, one of which was unfortunately in heart surgery at the age of 4 and didn't make it. And I think back on her life and I thought, what an amazing woman, because she was so positive. She was so funny. She never walked around with a chip on her shoulder. She literally just encompassed life and was a light for so many people. And I had seen other people in my life that had less things happen to them, but walked around as a victim to their life and a chip on their shoulder. And I never got a chance to really ask my grandma, like, how is it that you are the way you are when you have every excuse not to be? And I never got a chance to ask her that before she passed. And so I almost feel like every conversation I'm having on the Unstuck podcast is my like tiny conversation with her. And so I just have to ask you, with all of the things that you've been through with your husband's, you know, stroke and your children's diagnoses and all of the things that you've experienced, what is it that keeps you the way you are and the light that you are for others?
Well, a couple things. First and foremost, gratitude. Right? Like, I am always looking for reasons of why things happened. Mm-hmm. And when you're actually looking to see what was the meaning behind something, why did something happen? We can look now, like, hindsight is 2020, right? So like, my husband and I have this conversation a lot, because, you know, there was some time, you know, right at the very beginning where he was asking, like, why me? Like, I'm only 37. Like, I'm, you know, a healthy, capable person. Like, why? Well, as we started to look back then a year or two later, we're like, you know what? If he would not have had that stroke, he would not have been home for me to go to the hospital to be with our son, who, if I had not been there, would have died. Right? So I'm grateful for everything that's happened. Secondly, my mom, when I was growing up, was very sickly, and yet she always carried a positive attitude for the most part. I mean, she would have her pity party days, but we all do, right? But for the most part, she was positive. And I remember asking her, like, you're always sick. Like, you never feel good. Like, how do you keep, you know, a positive outlook on things? And I, you know, she said, well, because, she goes, sometimes I could sit here and be like, why me? She's like, but then some days I'm like, why not me? Somebody has to deal with it, right? And so that was the second thing that I was like, okay, well, why not me, right? And as I start to put those pieces together and I see all of the people that I'm able to connect with because of all of these different things that have happened, right? Like, it isn't just one thing that has happened in my life. It's multitude of things. And so almost anybody that I talk to, I can be like, oh yeah, I can relate to that because X, Y, Z. I can relate to that because this happened. And thirdly, the thing that keeps me positive is I have been a mental health transcriptionist for the last 21 years. And when you see the lives that some people go through, and your circumstances and your life don't touch anything as horrific as some of those people have gone through, you almost are unable to complain about the bad days. Yeah, so
that's really interesting that you mentioned that, because one of the most profound stories, I guess, I had heard was the story of Viktor Frankl. He wrote A Man's Search for Meaning. He was a Holocaust survivor. I don't know if you've ever read his book or heard of his story, but he was a psychiatrist in the time of World War II and was in a concentration camp. And I remember him telling the story about how he was stripped of everything. Like, he was naked, he was beaten, he was starved. And one day one of the guards noticed that he had a wedding ring on and demanded that he hand it over. And that was the last part of himself and the family that that represented and all the things. And I remember him saying, he can take everything, they can strip everything of me, my dignity, my clothes, my health, my everything, but they cannot take my attitude. And I remember thinking that and thinking, man, you know, it puts it into perspective. And it's not that we need to shame ourselves for having bad days, because we all have bad days, but we get to choose to not stay in those bad days. And so I think about that in the context of it and think, okay, like, no, you're right. Like, you can strip me of everything, but you can't strip me of my choice to choose a better attitude. And I just thank you for representing that and answering that question so beautifully. Now, I want to get into two more big topics that have really caught my attention and piqued my curiosity with you. One of them is, how do you help people have the confidence to step into doing something like starting their own business? Because I have been helping entrepreneurs for the last 6 years do that. And what I have found is that so many people are just too afraid to put themselves out there. They're too afraid of failure. They're too afraid of what other people might think. They're too afraid of not being good at it. There's so many things that go into our psyche that prevent us from really stepping into the solution that God has literally been handing them that they just aren't ready to take. So what kind of things do you see that have really helped people step into their purpose?
So one of the things that I tell them when I'm working with them is that their why has to be bigger than the reason not to. Okay. If they are, like, you know, facing, I think it's interesting because I heard this analogy a couple weeks ago from somebody, but they had said, like, you know, if your child was kidnapped and you had to figure out a way to make money to, you know, pay the ransom and get them back, you're going to figure it out really darn fast. You're not going to have an excuse for why you can't do something. Right. And so I feel like when people have a super important why they need to do something, they're going to take action. If it is just a leisurely choice and it's something that they can choose the easier path, then that's what they're going to do, because our, as human nature, our fight or flight response kicks in anytime that we're going to do something hard. Right. So if I get the people that come in and they're like, okay, like, my, like, I need to do this, like, I absolutely want to do this, like, I'm driven to do it, they're still going to have their days where imposter syndrome kicks in and things like that. And I always tell them that they aren't scared necessarily of failure. They're scared of leaving what they know behind to go into something that they can't see. And so that is really what the problem is for them. So I try to let them know, like, you know, you're not going to see the whole staircase. You just have to build one step at a time and then go up that step and then do that process. And so I'm very much an advocate about doing so that you can become and not the other way around, because you can't step into who you think you want to be without taking the steps to get there. And so that's something that I tell them. And then as well, just being a support. I find that so a lot of people have programs where it's just go watch the videos and then go do your thing. And I know that that's not effective for most people. So generally when I do any of my trainings, they're usually quite long. And then anytime that I present like my program, one of the things that they get is a fairly decent amount of support. So they get like 3 months of like office hours or coaching calls or whatever I'm offering at the time. And so they get hand holding basically because I know that so many people just need that support to step into it.
Then
the final thing that I tell them is that there is really the only way to fail is by not doing. Mm-hmm. Because if they come over into online business, there's so many different opportunities, right? Like if they decide that they try something that they don't like, they can pivot and try something else. Yeah. And the only way that it's never going to work is if they just don't put in the time or they don't do it. Because they're going to find something that fits them.
100%. I mean, that's just it. Like you have to take the one first small step in faith and then the next steps kind of present themselves on their own. But if you don't take that first step, it's really hard for you to get to that place. And I think back, you know, when I first started my first online business, it was actually in network marketing. And a lot of people don't realize that you can start a business in a box for very, very little money. At the time, I think it was like $75 that I could start a business and I'm given all of these tools and it's really up to me and what I do with them. Now, that's not what I'm doing now, but what that did was it gave me the tools and the skills and the knowledge to be able to coach people on all the kinds of different things that I saw were missing in the industry of just being online, right? So you never know where things are going to lead you. You just have to start where you can and then be open to the adventure of what's going to unfold, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think too, people underestimate, this is kind of like off topic, but what I have found, so as you know, I'm a homeschooler, right? And so I came from the public school and my three oldest kids were in public school. But what I found over time and then seeing my younger kids with homeschooling and the difference, what I have found is that typically because people grow up in 13 years of school and then even maybe go on to college, every step is laid out for them, right? Like here's your homework assignment, go read this book, go do this assignment, here are the instructions, here are whatever. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden people are like trying to step in or even with the job. So then, right, because school trains people to be a job, be an employee. You go be an employee and they're telling you when you can take a lunch break, when you can have time off. You have to have permission to go to the doctor. You have to, you know, like everything is laid out for you. So now all of a sudden you're stepping into business and now you're responsible for figuring it all out. You don't have anybody telling you what to do. And so I think that's where people start to flounder then is because they're like, well, nobody's telling me what to do. I don't know the next step. I can't see the next step. I don't have the instructions. I don't, whatever. And there's so many people who are afraid to invest in themselves and go and communicate with people, get on podcasts, hire a coach, do whatever. Mm-hmm. And so then they're trying to do this thing on their own without a roadmap or without anywhere to go, which is the same with like the network marketing, which is why we see so many people step into the sleazy tactics of it, right? Like people can succeed with network marketing if they do it the right way, aren't willing to take those steps to do it. And so I feel like we are products of our society.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like the culture and the programming, I guess. And it's so interesting because my husband's a fifth grade teacher and we've talked about this a lot, that the way that the schools are set up, it's actually discouraged to disagree or to prompt a really good intellectual conversation. And instead you're told, you know, to sit still and to listen and to do what you're told and all the things. And really that's not what is going to heighten us into becoming, you know, even more just, I don't know, diverse person, I guess. Yeah. And you're right. Because then when we go off and try to be an entrepreneur, it's like, yeah, nobody's telling me what to do. And it's scary. And the other thing that's really cool that you brought that up, because that's my second question for you was, you know, what I find a lot in my business coaching is that when people are in their own business and they're not having to clock in and clock out, right? And they have something that happens in their life. It might even be something as small as I have a cold, I don't feel good, to I'm getting a divorce, or my child is sick, or you know, I just had another baby, whatever the case may be, we can have all these excuses to set our business aside, right? And then it's really, really hard. Just like my joke is that I was really good at working out every day till Thanksgiving 2017. Like sometimes we can have something that happens to us that completely disrupts our normal habits. And then it takes a lot of momentum to get back going again. And so how is it that you have been able to continue to grow your business and be consistent when you had all of these things that were piling up in your life? And how do you help other people do the same?
So I would say that for me, it has been, I didn't give myself a choice, right? Like I didn't leave myself an out, because what happens with a lot of people is they go into online business with the idea that, you know, okay, well, I'll try it, but you know, if I fail, I'll just go get a job, right? And so they don't give it priority because they feel like they have a backup plan. Well, I know for me, going and getting a job isn't an option. I don't want a boss. I don't want to do that. So so it's interesting. And I often see, and I don't know if you've seen this at all, but I get people that kind of come into my world and they say, well, I don't want to fail. Like I fear failure. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, what's interesting, and we go back to the school thing, what I find so interesting is that that has been deep rooted in us too. Like we can't fail. Like you have been seeded with the idea that failing is bad. You have to succeed all the time. And so then people have this idea that failure is bad, when we know in online business, no, fail fast, right? Fail forward. Yes. Like it's a good thing.
Yes.
But until you figure that out, then people have a hard time stepping into that. So basically, when they come into this, they'll be like, oh, well, I don't want to fail. But they're scared to take the leap because they don't want to fail. And then all of a sudden, I see them like doing sleazy tactics of MLM marketing. And part of me is like, okay, they want something, right? Like they want to do online business, they want to do this thing. But I see them go and sign up for these business in a boxes, and they know subconsciously that it's not going to work because they've tried numerous ones before, right? So they subconsciously know it's not going to work, but they're taking action and it feels like action, right? So then when it doesn't work out, because we know it's not going to, so when it doesn't work out, it's them reinforcing their story that if I try something new, I'm going to fail.
Right.
And so then they can go back to having the job and being safe.
Right.
Right. And so that's what I see. So, you know, for me, when the people come in, like I didn't give myself an out. And so when I talk to my people too, like, that's why I say your why has to be bigger than any other reason, or you're going to give yourself an out and you're going to give yourself an option and you're not going to do the work and you're just going to fall back to your backup plan, which is going back to a job.
Right. Right.
And so it's a whole process, right? And people don't understand that like online business, like 90% of it is psychological. Like it's like 10% is actually doing the thing.
Right.
90% is getting yourself to do the thing.
100%. Like I totally agree. Like in fact, like my strategy session, people can't even have my strategy session day until they've gotten through the mindset work that I have as a prerequisite, because they don't understand. Like I can tell you what to do all day. I can give you the scripts. I can give you the what you should do for your daily income producing activity, but there's so much that goes on between our ears that that can sabotage us. And I think one of the things that you touched on was that, you know, we oftentimes too really expect ourselves to be able to decide that we're going to be a business owner, right? Mm-hmm. And we should be good at it from day one. And then if it doesn't work out exactly the way that we think, then we just say, well, this didn't work, right?
Yeah, right.
And what I think that a lot of us don't recognize is that, you know, I do anesthesia. That's one of my things that I do. And I had to go to school for a really long time to be able to do this. So what makes me think that I can just start a business and then not invest any money or time into learning the best way to be a business owner?
Right.
And so we think that, you know, why should I invest in a coach or a mentor or a program when I should be able to just, you know, do this? But in my mind, like it's a tuition, right? It's tuition and it's accountability for us to be able to develop those habits, to be able to stick with it when we don't feel like it, because that accountability is built in while we're building those habits and while we're really solidifying that why that's going to keep us working even when we don't feel like it. I mean, I remember being in my son's hospital room when he had an appendix that ruptured. And I remember sending, you know, clients things and doing things like that in the meantime, because I didn't give myself that out. And I love that philosophy, because so easy that we can have kind of one foot on shore and one foot on the boat, right? And especially if we're trying to work our part-time job and our full-time job as a transition. And mm-hmm. as long as you have that one foot on shore, it's really, really hard for you to get in the boat and go, don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, 100%. And I think that's where you get the, you know, people are always talking about like burn the lifeboats, right? Yeah, because yeah. if you don't, you're not going to perform at your best, because you're always going to be like, well, if it doesn't work, then I've got this other option. And the thing is that when we're sitting there and we're sitting there with our feet on, you know, either side, you're going to automatically choose the one that feels easier, because you can't, like, you can see what the result is going to be over right. here. And so one of the things like that I tell my students is that going to work and selling all of your time and losing out on your kids growing up is hard. And building a business is hard too, but it's a different kind of hard, and it's a rewarding hard. And so I'm like, you guys have the choice. Pick your hard.
Choose your hard. Yeah.
100%. You know? And when I put it in those terms, they're like, oh, wow. You know, like, you're right. Like, neither option is easy. But which one, you know, because I said, yeah, going to work might sound like the easier option. I said, but in 10 years from now, 20 years from now, when your kids are grown and you're watching those home videos and, you know, you miss out on all that, what's going to be harder? The regret? Or, you know, I mean, that's something that you have to think about when you are moving forward. Do you move forward, or do you know that you're going to regret it in the future? Yeah. Which one's going to be harder?
Oh my gosh. Like, I left my 20-year anesthesia career just like a month ago. Mm-hmm. And within that first couple of weeks, I was able to go on a 3-day overnight field trip with my 7th grade son.
Yeah.
And I just like couldn't even believe that I was there, because I could never get the time off before that to ever volunteer. And here I was for 3 days. Like, maybe it's if you're going to go do anything, do it big, apparently. So I spent 3 days with a bunch of 13-year-olds. Like, who does that? but it was amazing. It was amazing because I could. And I think that we really do underestimate those small little things that when we look back and say, I am so glad that I didn't have to miss that. It's going to be worth all of the pain of learning and growing and the things that we have to do as business owners. So I would love to know, Tara, how do you help people discover what is the right business to start?
So we kind of have a process that we go through. So when I do like even my free training, I have them list out all their skills, because, you know, as a business person, like, you're seeing, you know, showing up in your newsfeed, come and be a bookkeeper, that's the best thing. Come and be a proofreader, that's the best thing. Like, all of the best things, right? Yeah. But what happens is people are like, yeah, that sounds really great. And then they dive into it and they're like, yeah, that's not for me. And then all of a sudden, before they know it, they're in debt because they've invested in all these courses and none of them worked. And it's just reinforced their idea that it's not going to work for them.
Right.
And then unfortunately, they're no better off than they were when they started exploring this. And so when people come into my world, I'm like, you need to tap into the skills that are already innate and already a part of you. Even if they were ones that you learned in a job, like something that you're comfortable with, so that imposter syndrome doesn't kick you to the curb. Because what happens is people come into online business, one, they're trying to be a business owner for the very first time, and now they're trying to do something completely new.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's too much, right? So 100%. I help them figure out, what is it that you can do that you love, that you totally could do something for somebody like every day, all day.
Yeah.
And get paid for it. Because then the only piece that they're having to struggle is moving from employee to entrepreneur.
Right.
And they're already doing the thing that they're good at. Yeah, so basically I have a process for them to like really make them think about like what skills. So I'll be like, you need to pick a skill to monetize. Well, one thing that I see happen is they're very much like, well, I'm just a janitor, or I'm just a stay-at-home mom. And it's like, no, you're not. What are you doing? Like, you're not your job title. What are you doing within those jobs? Like, is it customer service? Are you doing some bookkeeping? Are you writing emails? Like, what are you doing within that? Like, stay-at-home moms, you are running and organizing a whole household. You're scheduling appointments. You're vacation planning. You're doing doing all these things, but because we're so close to it, they don't understand that somebody will pay them to like come and take care of these things for them. Yes. And so really we have like resources that list some of the online careers, and we have a process of like how to pull out some of the skills and list the skills and, you know, get rid of the ones that they don't like. And so there's a whole process. And so I'm very much like, let's pick the skill that works for you. And it's so funny because a lot of the time they'll be telling me things that they like or whatever. And then you can tell by the way they like all of a sudden they change their posture and they start talking loud and fast about the one thing that like excites them. And I'm like, that's it. And they're like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, that's it. And they're like, it's that simple. And I'm like, yep.
Yeah. And it just takes somebody else to be able to see it. And I have a client that was really struggling. She actually hired me to help her build her network marketing company really big. And it was so funny because she was kind of stuck a little bit. And I was telling her, because I knew I could see it, that she had literally ran a company before she transitioned to this in her retirement. She wanted something different, but you know, whatever. She couldn't see that she was so equipped because she ran a company, and she couldn't see that she was equipped to lead an organization the size that she wanted to in network marketing. And it was so interesting because she's like, Lachelle, I couldn't even see it. And it's like, right? It takes people like Tara, you guys, to be able to see what you can't see in yourself and pull out your body language and pull out the things within you that are going to make a difference in the world, and take all of the pieces of what you're good at and what you've been through and how you've been able to help other people in big and little things to be able to truly step into your purpose. And like she said at the beginning of this conversation, God will equip you each tiny step of the way as long as you are listening to Him and following His lead. Wouldn't you say?
Oh, 100%. And I think it's so, people don't understand. Like, this is the thing. If you're like, well, what skills do I have? Like, what can I do? Think about the things people come to you for. What are they coming to get advice from? Like, what is something that you're able to advise people? Right. Something is sometimes it's just so a part of who we are. It's just come so natural that they think everybody can do it. Mm-hmm. And it's not. Like, that's natural to you.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I love it. Oh my gosh. We could talk all day. You know that, right?
Totally good.
So what things have we not touched on that you really, really want to add to the conversation?
I think just letting people know that even if you don't think you have skills, you got them somewhere, even if it's a hobby. I think it's so interesting to me because one of the things that I tell some of my students, or even in some of the trainings that I have done, is that sometimes your skills are only your skills because you put out a whole bunch of job applications and you took the first job that called and gave you an interview. It isn't because that's something that you wanted to do. It isn't necessarily, you know, something that you were equipped to do, but like you took the job because they hired you. What are some of the innate skills that you have? What are some of the hobbies and the talents that you have and the passions that you have that you would love to take and turn into a business that you didn't even think was possible? Like, I see people who were like, they love Pinterest. They could spend all day on Pinterest and doing the pins and doing whatever. And they've now become Pinterest managers for business.
Yes.
Right. So it can be things. So they don't understand what's available because the only things in their mind are what is available in their local community. And when all of a sudden they turn over into this online thing, they don't, when they see certain opportunities, they're like, that's a thing.
Right.
Like, I mean, I didn't know that was a thing. I didn't know. So open your mind. Like, honestly, like if you want to step into this world, open your mind to the possibilities, because it truly is. Like, I know we hear this analogy a lot. The sky is the limit, but it literally is. In this case.
Yeah. You know? I have clients from all over the world, and I'm in, you know, the tiny little corner of Minnesota, right? Just like you are. And it's so much fun because the sky is the limit. And I'm sitting here thinking, oh, I need a Pinterest manager. Like, where is she, you know? And so you never know what people are praying for, you guys. It might just be your exact thing that you could do. Like, I oftentimes will ask people, like, if you could do something all day long, like geek out and do it all day long and nobody would bother you, and even if you couldn't get paid, like, what would you do? Oftentimes that's such a big hint because I could spend all day on Canva. And that's one of the things that I'm doing is designing things for people. Why? Because it's fun. Yeah. Right? It doesn't have to be tedious. It can be fun. And you're blessing other people with your talents. So
yeah, definitely. And just to touch on that, so I have a student that just came into my program not too long ago. She's got a professional, you know, job in the medical field. And so we were like having this discussion of like, you know, well, what would you like to do? And what are your hobbies? And she tells me that she loves scrapbooking and she goes on scrapbooking weekends and she's very creative. And I'm like, girl, why, like, what about design, like designing, get on Canva, design. And she's like, that's a thing. Yeah, it's a thing.
I love it. You guys, you have to make sure that you find Tara. All of her information is in the show notes. So if you are feeling led to give yourself some options, give yourself an opportunity to really step into what you're supposed to be doing and to create the and life so that you could be the present mom and be challenged and fulfilled and find that purpose, then Tara is your person. So I am so grateful that you're here. If you haven't already, hit subscribe and then make sure that you leave a review so that Tara can hear exactly what it is that you loved about this episode. We love it when you take screenshots and put us in your stories and tag us so that we can share you out as well. And then of course, make sure that you're sharing this episode with anybody who could be blessed by Tara's message. So one of the things that we always do here in the show right before we, you know, wrap things up is I always ask the guest, Tara, to think about a question that the audience could be thinking of that's going to move them forward from where they are to where they want to be. So what question would you ask them to think about?
If you were to look 20 years in the future, what would your thoughts be on the way life went? Would you have regrets for where you are right now? If you think you're going to be happy with it, then great, you're probably where you need to be. But if you can look 20 years into the future and you regret the things that you didn't take a chance on and the things that you missed out on, then it's time to take a look at what you're doing right now and change it. Because what's that saying? The best time to plant a tree was yesterday, but the second best time is today, or 20 years ago, I guess. 20 years ago is the best time. Today is the second best time. Yeah, and so I think that that's something that people definitely can take a look at and be like, oh, okay.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for being here. You guys, thank you for listening. And I hope that you got as much out of this as I did. And I will see you next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Untucked Podcast. I'm so grateful to be on this journey with you. And don't forget to check out the show notes if you want to get into my private club, the Better Club, to be able to learn better ways to be better, do better, and have better. So until next time, keep showing up. Let's get unstuck together. Have a great day.